From the historic Loretto Abbey Chapel, with the kind cooperation of the Toronto Catholic District School Board, the National Catholic Broadcasting Council presents the Daily TV Mass.
Hello and welcome to the celebration of the Daily TV Mass. I'm Father John Berteo, and our homilist for this Mass is Deacon Mike Walsh. The televising of this Mass is made possible by the contributions from three donors. The first is the estate of Mrs. Aileen Marie Glossop of Ontario, in memory of Elaine, her brother Alfred Jones, and her friend Rodney Herbert Crown. The second is an anonymous donor from Ontario and the Philippines, in thanksgiving for 100 years of blessings received and prayers for continued health and strength. The third is the Fry family from Toronto, Ontario, for the repose of the soul of James George Fry, who died on August 1, 2009. Our thanks to the donors for the gift of this Mass, and a special happy birthday to one of our sponsors, 100 years young. And we begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And with your spirit.
As we gather together for the celebration of this Eucharist, let us acknowledge that we need God's forgiveness and ask for it. You are sent to heal the contrite of heart, Lord of mercy. You came to call sinners, Christ of mercy. You are seated at the right hand of the Father and to intercede for us, Lord have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
May Almighty God have mercy on us, forgive us our sins, bring us to everlasting life.
Amen.
This Mass we offer as a memorial for St. Francis Liguori as we pray. O God, who constantly raise up in your church new examples of virtue, grant that we may follow so closely in the footsteps of Bishop St. Alphonsus in his zeal for souls as to attain the same rewards that are his in heaven. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever.
Amen. Amen.
A reading from the book of Exodus. Whenever the Israelites made camp throughout their journey to the land promised by the Lord, Moses used to take the tent and pitch it outside the camp, far off from the camp. He called it the tent of meeting. And everyone who sought the Lord would go out to the tent of meeting, which was outside the camp. Whenever Moses went out to the tent, all the people would rise and stand, each of them at the entrance of their tents, and watch Moses until he had gone into the tent. When Moses entered the tent, the pillar of cloud would descend and stand at the entrance of the tent, and the Lord would speak with Moses. When all the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the entrance of the tent, all the people would rise and bow down, all of them, at the entrance of their tent. Thus, the Lord used to speak to Moses face to face, as one speaks to a friend. Then he would return to the camp, but his young assistant, Joshua, son of Nun, would not leave the tent. Early one morning, Moses rose and went up on the mountain as the Lord had commanded him. The Lord descended in a cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name, the Lord. The Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for the thousandth generation, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, yet by no means clearing the guilty, but visiting the iniquity of the parents upon children, and the children's children to the third and fourth generation. And Moses quickly bowed his head toward the earth and worshiped. He said, if now I have found favor in your sight, O Lord, I pray, let the Lord go with us. although this is a stiff-necked people, pardon our iniquity and our sin, and take us for your inheritance. Moses was there with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights. He neither ate bread nor drank water. And he wrote on the tablets the words of the covenant, the Ten Commandments. The word of the Lord.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus left the crowds and went into the house, and his disciples approached him, saying, "Explain to us the parable of the weeds of the field." He answered, "The one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed are the children of the kingdom. The weeds are the children of the evil one, and the enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are the angels. Just as the weeds are collected and burned up with fire, so will it be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will collect out of the kingdom all causes of sin and all evildoers, and they will throw them into the furnace of fire, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of heaven. Let anyone with ears listen." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
I've been thinking a lot lately about the power of story, and I came across this quote from Pope Francis, who said, "Stories influence our lives, whether in the form of fairy tales, novels, films, songs, news, even if they do not always realize it. Stories leave their mark on us. They shape our convictions and our behaviors. And then he said, often we decide what is right and wrong based on characters and stories that we have made our own. And over this past little while, in this week of ordinary time, we have been exploring the parables of Jesus. Father Dan just was here the other day and talked a lot about parables and why Jesus uses those parables. And when you think about it, the parables are our good stories. And this is the way Jesus chose to teach us. In today's Matthew chapter 13 is where we've been for the last little while. It actually starts by saying in verse 1 that the same day Jesus went out from the house. So he had been in a smaller place, went to a larger place. And you may remember he goes actually out by the shore. It's so crowded he gets into a boat and he sets out a little ways so the acoustics would be better. More people could hear him. And he actually talks in verse 10 about the purpose of the parables. Father Donovan talked about this as well. And he often does this kind of more intimate teaching when he moves from these large groups to the smaller groups. So the disciples, the smaller group, had come to him and said, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" And Jesus says this, "To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven." So really, if we want to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, well, we read the parables. And so we arrive at the parable in today's gospel reading. It actually takes place just a little bit before our reading, because now, by the time we get to the gospel today, we're in the smaller group. In the larger group, Jesus tells the parable. This is perhaps not as well known as the prodigal son that Father Donovan talked about, but it is an extremely powerful and meaningful parable. It's the parable of the weeds amongst the wheat. And so you kind of heard it in our reading as Jesus explaining it. There is the landowner who sends out the seed, it gets planted, and while everyone is asleep, the enemy comes, and the weeds get planted, and the weeds start to grow. And right at the end, very important of the parable, the landowner tells the slaves, "Let both of them grow together until the harvest, and at the harvest time I will tell the reapers, collect the weeds first and bind them in bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat to my barn." And then, just before we get to the reading today, we shift again to the smaller audience, because as Jesus left the crowds, and the disciples now explain to us what this parable might mean. And it is confusing to them for a number of reasons. But let's look at the parable. I think the best interpretation, there's many, that's why Jesus used them. But I think this is a classic good versus evil story. There are many of them in the Bible. It starts with a good versus evil story, doesn't it, with Adam and Eve in the garden? And then right after that, as evil enters the world, the story of Cain and Abel. Just a tragedy that goes forward. There's Jesus in the desert, where he's tempted 3 times by the devil. Now the landowner provides the good seeds, the slaves care for the field, but then there's a crisis. They notice the weeds coming, and this is when they come to him. And they say, "What should we do? Should we go? Should we pull out the roots, the weeds right now?" Which is what, in an agricultural society, they would probably do. And the landowner, God, says, "No, let them both grow." And he gives us this lesson that good will, in fact, overcome evil. Well, as he gives them that answer, there's a bigger question. He says, and this is what the farmers would do, as I mentioned, that we should gather in those weeds. We should take them out. But the bigger question is this. Why does the landowner say no? And I think that one of the reasons which we can interpret that is this is God saying to us, as I mentioned, that forces of good will withstand the forces of evil. But here's what we might not think of. That the slaves, it is not their job to judge, right? Jesus says the landowner will tell the reapers. And so the real summary of this story is that these talks very clearly about what we Catholics call the last four things: death, judgment, heaven, and hell. It's a story about death. There will be a harvest. There will be an end. There will be a judgment. And what we talk about in the Catholic faith, there'll be a general judgment when we come face to face with the landowner, with God, right? And that we will be judged on our lives, and then a general judgment at the end where we all come together and Jesus will return and he will judge the living and the dead, right? Again, not our job to judge. There is a heaven. We will be gathered into his barn, and there's no denying it, that there will be a hell, that those will be gathered. Now today we also celebrate the feast day of Alphonsus Liguria. In many ways, he could be the patron saint for the daily TV mass. As a young man, he became a lawyer. He left that. He became a teacher and a preacher and a priest. And he gathered people around him, and he went and he did these missions. And he left us the prayer of spiritual communion that we use in every mass. And this prayer of spiritual communion is a lesson in patient trust. And you see, patient trust is also one of the themes of this parable. We have to be patient. And we have to pray to be in spiritual communion with the landowner, with Christ, with God. And it is the power of the prayer of spirit. The real power in that prayer is that we are not alone. And so today when we pray that prayer, after the consecration, know that you are never alone. And we are called in that prayer of spiritual communion to be in communion with Christ. And it is that communion that allows us to go out into the world in peace, to glorify the Lord by the way we choose to live good lives, despite the weeds that we may encounter. God bless. So join me now as we offer our prayers to our God. For all of those in the Daily TV Mass Prayer Intentions book, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
And for those, for families, for peace in times of blessing and difficulty, protection for children, and respect for the elderly and the vulnerable, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
And for people who are lonely, that they may experience God close to them, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
God of heaven and earth, you reward those with clean hands and pure hearts. In our unworthiness, we bring our prayers to you through Christ our Lord.
Amen. Amen.
Blessed are you, Lord God of all creation, for with you as have received the bread we offer you, fruit of the earth and work of human hands, it will become for us the bread of life.
Blessed be God forever.
By the mysteries of one and one, we come to share the divinity of Christ, who humbled himself to share in our humanity.
Blessed are you, Lord God of all creation, for with you as have received the wine we offer you, fruit of the vine and work of human hands, it will become our spiritual drink.
Blessed be God forever.
With humble spirits. And may our sacrifice in this sight this day please unto you, Lord God. Lord, wash me my iniquity and cleanse me from my sins. Pray, brothers and sisters, that my sacrifice and yours be acceptable to God, the Almighty Father.
May the Lord accept the sacrifice of your hands for the praise and glory of his name. Our good and the good of all his holy church.
Be pleased, O Lord, to enkindle our hearts with the celestial fire of your Spirit, just as you gathered that, as you granted that Saint Alphonsus should celebrate these mysteries and by them offer himself to you as a holy sacrifice, through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right and just.
It is truly right and just, our duty and our salvation, always and everywhere to give you thanks, Lord, Holy Father, Almighty, Eternal God, through Christ our Lord. For in the marvelous confession of your saints, you make your church fruitful with strength ever new and offer us sure signs of your love. And that your saving mysteries may be fulfilled, their example lends us courage. Their fervent prayers sustain us in all we do. And so, Lord, with all the angels and saints, we too give you thanks, as in exaltation we acclaim.
Hosanna in the highest.
You are indeed holy, O Lord, the fount of all holiness. Make holy, therefore, these gifts, we pray, by sending down your Spirit upon them like the dewfall, so that they may become for us the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. At the time he was betrayed and entered willingly into his passion, he took bread, and giving thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and eat of it, for this is my body, which will be given up for you." In a similar way, when supper was ended, he took the chalice, and once more giving thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and drink from it, for this is the chalice of my blood, the blood of the new and eternal covenant, which will be poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in memory of me." The mystery of faith.
When we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim your death, O Lord, until you come again.
Therefore, as we celebrate the memorial of his death and resurrection, we offer you, Lord, the bread of life and the chalice of salvation, giving thanks that you've held us worthy to be in your presence and minister to you. Humbly we pray that partaking of the body and blood of Christ, we may be gathered into one by the Holy Spirit. Remember, Lord, your church spread throughout the world and bring it to the fullness of charity, together with Francis our Pope and Francis our Bishop and all the clergy. Remember also our brothers and sisters who have fallen asleep in the hope of the resurrection, and all who have died in your mercy, welcome them into the light of your face. Have mercy on us all, we pray, that with the Blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of God, with Blessed Joseph, her spouse, with the Blessed Apostle St. Alphonse, and all the saints who please you throughout the ages, we merit to be co-heirs of eternal life, and may praise and glorify you through your Son, Jesus Christ. Through him, and with him, and in him, O God, Almighty Father, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours forever and ever.
Amen.
At the Savior's command, informed by divine teaching, we dare to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Deliver us, Lord, we pray, from every evil. Graciously grant peace in our days, that by the help of your mercy, we may be always free from sin and safe from all distress, as we await the blessed hope and the coming of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus Christ, who said to your apostles, "Peace I leave you, my peace I give you," look not on our sins, but on the faith of your church, and graciously grant peace and unity in accordance with your will, who live and reign forever and ever.
Amen.
The peace of the Lord be with you always.
And with your spirit.
Let us offer each other a sign of peace.
Behold the Lamb of God. Behold him who takes away the sins of the world. Blessed are those called to the supper of the Lamb.
Lord,
Lord, I am not worthy to enter under my roof, but only say the word, and my soul shall be healed. May the body of Christ meet everlasting.
Please join me now in this act of spiritual communion. My Jesus, I believe that you are present in the Blessed Sacrament. I love you above all things, and I desire you in my soul. Since I cannot now receive you sacramentally, come spiritually into my heart, as though you were already there. I embrace you and unite myself wholly to you. Permit not that I should ever be separated from you. Amen.
Let us pray. O God, who gave us St. Alphonsus to be a faithful steward and preacher of this great mystery, grant that your faithful may receive it often and, receiving it, praise you without end. Through Christ our Lord.
Amen. Amen.
As we continue to enjoy this month of August in the summer, let's always remember that Mary is always along with us, especially when we pray together. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
May Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Go in peace, glorifying the Lord by your life.
Thanks be to God.
Our thanks to our donors for the gift of this Mass.